Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Where are we in the cycle, in the timeline of real estate? Are we up? Are we down? Lots of folks are saying we're at the peak. Well, how do you manage your portfolio when we're at the peak? That's what we're going to talk about today. Peak portfolio management on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me, as usual, co-host financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, so many folks are saying, hey, the market's been great, everything's strong, and even despite the election, real estate is on a tear, and it's a lot of competition for properties, and there's a lot of smart folks who are thinking we may be not at, but certainly are close to the peak. And we thought it might be time to talk about how you manage your real estate portfolio when we're getting near the top.
Yeah, I think that it's such a huge topic, and there's so many divided opinions on this, because you can look at certain metrics, you say, oh, well, unemployment is down, stock market is up, more people have health care, so therefore the economy's doing better. Other people say, well, the labor participation rate is down, and home ownership rates are down, and therefore the economy's doing poorly. Somebody else says, yes, but wages are starting to tick up, and so they're getting better. Other people say, well, yeah, but inflation means real wages is going down. So it's really hard to say where you really are in a cycle. You know, interest rates are starting to tick up. Usually that's a reflection of strength, and that the economy can take a little bit more of a load in terms of interest rates. And yet the debt load wouldn't seem to indicate that. And so I think one of the things you have to realize, especially when it comes to real estate, is it's a debt-driven asset class. And I use the term loosely because, you know, we don't really think of real estate as an asset class. But the idea is that there are these cycles. And if you look back over history in real estate and housing or any particular segment, and that's another issue because all product types don't roll the same either.
Well, that's not just another issue. That's the core of this discussion, is that a cycle isn't just, oh, real estate's up everywhere, real estate's down everywhere. Real estate prices can be up and occupancy can be low. Where are you in terms of tenant demand? When houses are more affordable and we see more people able to buy homes, that doesn't usually bode well for landlords, because A, tenants especially who are renting those three-bedroom apartments and nice complexes can easily go out and buy a house, and often do. And so these cycles are multiple cycles. There isn't any one time. In fact, at the depth of the Depression, when the things were terrible, there were still real estate markets in the U.S. that were thriving, and around the world even more so. So it's definitely getting your mind around what cycle and where are we. But I think the bigger picture is, how do we think about our portfolio and manage our portfolio, not even an individual property, when we know that there could be change coming?
Right. And so there's macro things. You know, the economic markets are everywhere. They're very similar. So how much credit is available? What are interest rates? How loose is the lending? All that kind of stuff. That is kind of macro, and is pretty much even across the board. Not completely. I mean, you know, there are times, like, for example, in the 2008 crash, housing financing went away, but multifamily stayed strong because the government stayed behind it. Hotel financing went completely away, and eventually, you know, it started to come back. And so, you know, there are cycles even in the supply of money. When you look at product classes, clearly there are cycles, because certain segments get hot and others don't. You know, multifamily has been the hot thing for quite a while. So if you were to just isolate it and say, well, where am I at? You know, what's my portfolio look like? Let's just use multifamily as an example. If you're a multifamily investor, then you have to ask yourself, where am I at in the cycle? Are there a lot of bargains out there? Am I the only bidder? Are the cap rates high? Am I able to get, you know, a good value for my money? Or is it hyper-competitive, lots of bids, no inventory available? What's that coming like? And if you say, okay, if I'm at a point where it's appears to be high, do I sell and try to take something off the table? Then what do I do with my money?
Right.
And then, so if I am going to hold the portfolio, what am I focused on? Am I focused on buying more? Am I focused on managing better? And so, you know, a normal investor, like a paper asset investor, is going to ride up a wave, and then they're going to take some chips off the table. They're going to take their profits, maybe up their stop losses, maybe cash out some positions, maybe time it strategically for tax benefits or whatever. But they're going to take a little bit off the table if they can. And that works with paper assets. But when you're enjoying a nice stream of income from a property that's actually doing well and maybe has a little bit more cash flows you can squeeze out of it, and you really don't have anywhere else to go because there aren't deals in the space you're in, you might think, well, okay, maybe I want to try and pull some equity off the table, but not put it back into something. Maybe give it back to my investors or park it in something, you know, that isn't real estate right now until the market comes back. Because if the market were to turn right away, it's really good to be liquid. You know, it's really good to have a pile of cash to go shopping with when the market comes down. So you're thinking about where you are right now and the things that you can do to make what you have operate better and mitigate the risk of a downturn. And then also to put yourself in a position that if we did have a downturn, are you positioned to go shopping and take advantage? Because there's nothing worse than a big sale at the store and your credit line is maxed out and you can't buy anything.
Well, and when we talk about cycles, another big important cycle is your cycle as an investor. Lots of folks listening to the show are seasoned investors who own lots of property. We meet them at our events. They come on the summit. But a lot of folks who listen to programs like this are brand new to real estate investing. And so your own cycle as an investor, where are you in the process? Are you still in acquisition of knowledge, getting educated about real estate, and you're going to make your first big jump into it and buy something? Well, you've got to look at what's happening right now. To your point about multifamily, today there's a lot of competition, a lot of multifamily markets. So what are folks doing? Our guest today is in that space exactly, and he's going to tell us a lot, and you're going to learn a ton from this man, because we always do, about the way he's thinking about where his portfolio and where his product type sits in today's cycle.
Yeah, I think that, you know, your point about getting started, you know, you have to get started wherever you get started. When I started my sales career, I was basically starting in a recession. The only thing that worked for me is I didn't know it was a recession, so I just went out and went to work. And so most of the time in any environment, if you work, you're going to be successful. Just becomes a little bit easier for you when things go well. And then you get spoiled. They're like, oh God, this was so easy. And then tough time comes. And instead of just keeping working, you're like, well, I'm just going to, you know, hang out until it gets good again. So, you know, there's managing your psychology. You know, that's part of it. And the other part is that if you're just getting started, you have to get started. And so how you approach a market that might be near the top would be maybe a little bit different. You're going to really focus probably on cash flow. You're going to have to do a lot more research and really be diligent to find a market and a property type that makes sense. That's the bad news. The good news is there's a lot of people running around with equity that believe in the vehicle of real estate. And so if you're so inclined, and we're big fans, as you know, of syndication, you're probably going to find people who can do some equity shares with you. You maybe bring in a good credit score and documentable income. And so you're bankable and they bring a little bit of equity that they can reposition from another property. And you can show them, hey, if you borrow money out of your property at 4%, I can find a cash on cash return of 6. You think you'd be willing to do that with the chance we could have some upside? And if not, then we just hold the thing for production of cash flow and ride the cycle out. I think you could make that appeal. So you can get started in this business no matter where it is in the cycle. We're really talking today about this notion. If you've got a big portfolio, and I mean, you got a lot of chips on the table and you're sitting on top and you think, okay, you know, I remember the bad times and it was low, which were really the good times because I bought a lot and then I've ridden that up and now I've got a gob of equity and I've got solid cash flows. It's like, now what do I do?
Well, and of course, last week's show, a lot of folks, we had people nervous, right? I mean, it's great show. If you haven't heard last week's show, go back and check it out. But that always has us thinking about, well, where really are we in the big, big macro picture? And how do we play offense and defense at the same time? That's really the concept. Our guest today has been in the multifamily space for many, many years, started at the door of property management, and with his partner now for 15 years, they've built nearly 10,000 rental units. When we come back, you'll meet our good friend and Rich Dad advisor, Ken McElroy, today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the Perpetual Wealth Strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Kendra Todd, winner of The Apprentice, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We are thrilled to have one of our good friends and major real estate guy in the house. Let's say hi to Mr. Ken McElroy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Really good. Good to see you. And, you know, it's the start of a new year here. I understand there's some sort of political change. What's going on in the apartment space? You've got your nose in this part of the world, and you've been doing apartments forever. What's the latest and greatest?
Well, probably the biggest thing is, as we're telling some of our investors, is that it's going to be really, really slow and not to really expect a lot of deal flow from us because that actually started last year. Yeah, we offered on a little over 60 deals last year. We ended up with one. And so because we underwrite each one and we know what the numbers are and we know, you know, obviously everything about it, we also know what we're losing to and we're getting outbid, $1 million to $2 million, sometimes $3 million more than what we would pay. And so for us, it's time to sit back and let these people buy these things and keep an eye on them and maybe buy them later.
Such an important point. You know, people get caught up in the market and everyone's buying. Well, that's the time to think differently. I remember last time we were in the downturn and you guys were buying and no one else was at the table and everyone thought you were crazy. Well, that's the time to buy. And now when a guy bids a couple million more, that's what we might call not the smartest money in the room.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's the hardest thing to do because you can imagine we have 800 investors. I have a whole team here of 350 people, all designed really to buy properties and to manage them and close them, you know, from due diligence teams to analysts to acquisition people. And to be able to actually have the discipline, especially when you have the equity.
Right.
Because we have the equity, as you know, we close deals very quickly within a day. And to be able, you have to have that self-discipline to say no. I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't want to ruin all these relationships. In some cases, you have to tell some of these folks that are commissioned that, hey, we're not going to do any more deals. And therefore, you're going to have some, you know, it's going to be slow for you too. When you have that momentum, being able to call it and say, it's time to not buy, is incredibly difficult.
Right. You bet. Well, let's talk about the other side of the business though, because you have tons of assets and you've got this great team and you've got properties spread out. Tenant retention. Clearly the tenants, there's more tenants today, less people owning homes. How's that side of the business for the operating properties you have?
Yeah, it hasn't really been tested this cycle yet. And I'll tell you why. Because we're still really undersupplied. So it's interesting. You know, on one hand, properties are overpriced. On the other hand, there's an incredible demand for tenants. So I think across the country, last I read, we were 96% occupied across the country. Now, of course, Detroit's a lot lower than that.
Yeah.
San Francisco's a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
But you get the point. So the issue, I don't think actually the management companies have even been tested yet. Because somebody leaves for whatever reason, there's a new person coming. And so what will really be interesting will be the next few years, you know, if we start to see a little bit of softness in occupancy, then really the staff, maybe for the first time ever, for them, could be tested. You know, all these new management companies that are involved right now, they're thinking, oh my gosh, this is the way it is. It's not. I've been through 3 months free, you know, to get a 1 year lease. And, you know, that's when your people have to be the best. The customer service has to be the best. And that's when, you know, every single person that comes through the door, you cannot let them leave because there may not be another one. So, we will see, you know, the companies that are hunkering down and developing their people right now are the ones that are going to do really, really well as we start to see some of the softness. And we're already seeing it a little bit. There's definitely some overbuilding in some markets.
You guys have recently been honored. You and Ross is one of the top 10 management companies in the United States. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And part of that is because you do a great job on both sides, obviously with your investors, with your partners in the properties, but also every door you have, there's a tenant that lives behind that. What are some of the things that are changing in terms of tenant expectation, what you guys do to add value and keep tenants for longer periods of time?
Sure. There's a lot, actually. Thank you, by the way. That award came from our employees. So the interviews were all through our employees, wow, not necessarily through us. Yeah. So I didn't actually even know we were up for it. That was a nice honor to have. What we're really seeing at the property levels are things that, you know, the basic services that you would come to expect. People don't necessarily always need all the brand new stuff that, you know, we're seeing in some of the new properties, because that does come with a price.
Yep.
So as you know, we're right underneath those. Even though we do quite a bit of new development, even our new development is not completely very, very high end.
Yeah.
What people want is they want a safe community. They want Wi-Fi. They want pets. They want to be able to live the way they want. They want gardens. They want all those kind of basic things. And I think that's pretty easy to deliver. And we're continually trying to figure out exactly what the residents do want, because at the end of the day, that's actually what keeps people there.
Let's talk about pets for a minute. You know, there's this whole long-standing debate about, do you allow pets or not? And lots of apartment communities are definitely anti-pets. You guys have swung the other way. Talk about that.
Yeah, so that's a good point. A couple years ago, actually 3 years ago, we decided that we were going to embrace pets, because if you look at, you know, we've been around the business enough to know that we had pet policies, and we said, you know, no pit bulls, no German shepherds, you know, no aggressive breeds, all those kinds of things, you know, and we had pound limits and all that stuff. We had pet agreements. But now we decided, after looking at the numbers, that we actually never had a problem ever with a pet. I think everybody fell into this routine that pets were bad and everybody had these pet policies.
Some pet owners aren't so good, but.
Yeah, exactly, right. So anyway, we decided to swing the other way. And what we ended up doing was we completely embraced it, and we did a whole brand around it, a whole, you know, we welcome your pet. You know, we have leashes, we have bowls, we have a whole thing in the clubhouse. We have pictures of big dogs and little dogs. And then we actually put pet parks in all of our communities. And you know, what we found is that we're now known as one of the top management companies to go to, you know, for pets, because
yeah,
they're like, oh, MC Companies is a company that will take our pet. And so don't forget, again, we're going back to what do the residents want? And we found that a fair amount of people have pets, especially the elderly. And, you know, you need to be able to accept them. I mean, who doesn't want, seriously, an elderly couple with a small dog?
Right.
I mean, why would you even consider not having those people? Because they could be with you for 10 years.
Sure.
You know, so we just went back to the basics and said, okay, how are we over-policied, and what can we do differently? And it's turned out to be wonderful.
Now, does that vary by market at all? You guys are in several different markets, and you always have to be aware of what the local market is like and what tenants are demanding, or is it kind of a uniform thing? I know a lot of your properties look and feel very similar. Is it the same thing with these kinds of policies?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It doesn't really vary from market to market. You'd be surprised, because you never really know who's going to come through the door.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, you know, a kid right out of college that, you know, maybe has a German Shepherd, you know, or the next person that comes through, you know, might be a retired couple, right? So it doesn't really matter. At least that's been our experience in the different markets we're in Oklahoma, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, let's say, we found that, it doesn't really matter. As you actually joked about, and it's true, the biggest issue is the pet owner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how do they treat their pet? You know, do they leave them there all day? You know, and there's a whole bunch of things around that, but the pets themselves are no problem.
We're having a doggone good time with Kent McElroy today. When we come back, it's time to play real estate trivia, give you a chance to win a prize, and we'll continue our conversation with Ken. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
All aboard. It's last call for the Real Estate Guys 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. We're nearly sold out. Just a few cabins remaining for you to spend a week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning this year are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raoul, commercial mortgage broker and syndicator Michael Becker, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Also returning are Peter Schiff and Robert Kiyosaki. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas, so hurry! Visit realestateguysradio.com and click on the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys, Robert Kiyosaki, and an all-star faculty on the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchior from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. If you are looking to do bigger deals with other people's money, come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. We'll be in Dallas, Texas, March 3rd and 4th. It's an amazing event, and the people that show up are so cool. Check out all the details at our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking with the amazing Ken McElroy today. And before we get back to our conversation with Kenny, it's time to play real estate trivia, a chance for you to win a prize. And the prize is an autographed copy of the ABCs of Real Estate Investing. Ken's been nice enough to sign a book for the winner. And all you have to do is know today's real estate trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and of course the answer to the question. And if you're the first person that does so correctly, you'll win the ABCs of Real Estate Investing, signed by the author Ken McElroy. Last week on the show, we were honored to have Robert Kiyosaki, and we asked this: which U.S. state has the lowest GSP? That's gross state product, just like we have the GDP of gross domestic product, gross state product. Which state has the lowest GSP? The answer, the fine state of Vermont. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which market in the U.S. added the most multifamily units in 2016? Yep, a lot of great multifamily markets, and of course Ken is in Ross or in a bunch of them, but which market added the most new construction units from an apartment standpoint in 2016? If you think you know or you want to take a guess, send us your best answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, because we're going to send the winner an autographed copy of the ABCs of Real Estate Investing by Ken McElroy. That's today's real estate trivia question. Good, good stuff. And of course, an amazing book, The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. That continues to be kind of your calling card, even though you wrote the book so many years ago. I think we meet fewer people that haven't read the book than that have.
Yeah. It blows me away, actually. It released in 2005. So it's over 10 years old now. And I was just looking at the numbers last month, and the thing still sells. It's still the top Rich Dad Advisor book.
Yep.
By far.
Yeah.
The second one's not even close.
So. Well, you know what's interesting is that it is in the real estate business. A lot of it is time tested, the basics. You talked about that right out of the gate. It's the basics things people want. And we try to complicate that with what's the latest and greatest. And of course, that's how we started out. What are the trends? What are you seeing? So there are changes, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty basic business.
It's incredibly basic. In fact, it's as basic as can be. And I love it because it's really slow, and it's real estate's kind of dumb. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it
doesn't move fast. You know, it's not liquid like a lot of people want it to be.
Right.
That's the negative. if it is a negative, I don't necessarily think it is, but it moves very, very, very slow. I mean, even the deals that we find, we'll have those in escrow for 4 or 5 months as we look at everything. And, you know, there's not a lot of change in the operations right during that period of time from the time we put it in escrow to the time we close. It's just because people move in, people move out. If it's a decent property in a decent location, it just doesn't change that much, you know?
We've often joked that there is no technology that's going to come along and replace the need for people to live under a roof, right? I mean, that's part of the thing. People are going to remodel their houses. They're going to move from place to place. But at the end of the day, it's interacting with the physical, real, tangible part. But at the same time, we are interested in changes in technology and so forth. I mean, watching you guys kind of evolve as a company, I know you just wrote an article about some of the technological changes that you're seeing. Speak to some of that side of it.
Well, we're seeing a lot. I mean, you start to see, like, you just look at systems, for example, at some of the properties, yep, you know, and being able to manage those from your mobile phone and apps and things like that. I mean, we're talking about electrical systems, HVA systems, water, stuff like that. That's all tech now. That's really important. Obviously, how to find properties and, you know, how to bid on them and how to look for comps and all that stuff. You know, as you guys remember, it's completely transparent now. I mean, right, especially with Google Maps and things like that. So we're starting to see a lot of things. What's really exciting is we're starting to see it all get all integrated. And I think that's very, very exciting. Really, probably the biggest news for the real estate industry is what's happening in retail, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because we've seen year over year major losses in, you know, what we call retail stores on streets, yep, you know, and you start to see more and more vacancies on those kinds of retail stores, and people aren't necessarily needing those as much as they have been. And all of this is affecting the big box, you know, Sears, you know about Sears, you know about Macy's, right? Macy's is supposed to lose 10,000 jobs this year. The article I read through National Real Estate Investors said that they actually projected 1,080 specialty and department stores will close in 2017. And of course, lots and lots of jobs. But as you guys know, from going back to technology, Amazon is supposed to hire 100,000 people in 2017. Right. So it's interesting. People's habits are changing. And, you know, we're starting to see, that's actually where people should be watching, in my opinion, is things are not going to be the same. People are buying differently. The whole generation behind us, literally, even our apartment people, we rent a lot of apartments online.
Yeah.
Okay. You just think about that. 10 years ago, right, who would ever think that, right?
Never, yeah.
So people are buying houses that way.
Yep.
We have people that show up and have never seen the place. You know, they get their keys and they move in, and people are buying houses that way too. So I think this whole generation that is used to doing that, it's going to get more and more and more. And, you know, they say that the real estate broker and the real estate salesperson, you know, is going to be really in trouble. And I think that's probably true in some respects.
Yeah.
In fact, Oxford University actually has a study that says there's like a 98% probability that real estate brokers are going to be gone. But I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that maybe some will, you know, if they're just pushing paperwork and, you know, showing people around, then of course they're expendable. But if they can figure out a way to be a resource to some of these people, because you think about it, you can buy a home, you can do all the comps, you can see what price you should offer and all that stuff online now. So why really do you need the real estate broker? On the other hand, if the real estate broker can provide some value, then I think that, I think the role is going to change for the better.
Yeah.
Because nobody needs somebody to push paper.
No. And from the investment point of view, right? I mean, single family homes may be different for people to live in them, but as investors, we rely on brokers, right? They bring us comps. They bring us inside knowledge. They bring us deals. They know the market. They know retail. They know who's moving in, who's moving out. They understand those big macro trends, but that's probably not every real estate agent.
I agree with you. And so the algorithm that's going to produce all this stuff eventually cannot tell you that a big employer is moving in or moving out.
Right.
Or, you know, this is an area that's under redevelopment. So there's the local knowledge, and that's the stuff, actually, as you know, that's probably the most important thing. It's not necessarily what you pay. Well, it is, I guess, a little bit. You don't want to overpay.
Right.
But if you pay a fair price in a market that's trending upward, you're going to be fine. But the and the broker's the one that's going to know that.
You know, there's all this talk about automation taking jobs away. I mean, even Amazon's talking about delivering packages by drone and those kinds of things. And I listen to that and go, well, you know, real estate's real estate. But you guys have actually figured out that there's a way to show an apartment without the labor. Talk to that real quick.
Yeah, so there's two things that we've decided to embrace. A couple of years ago, we brought on a really incredible marketing guy by the name of Eric Brown from the East. He moved here with his family. And we ended up moving away from all paid advertising completely. And if you think about that, because we have, as you guys know, we have almost 10,000 units. And so before, you know, our paid advertising was pretty expensive. Back in the day, it was newspaper, and then it moved to these apartment magazines, yep. You know, that you could pick up at your local grocery stores and convenience stores and things. And then that all went digital, but they never really, even though they went digital, there was still a price, you know, you'd pay per month and you'd be advertising along, you know, everybody else. So what we ended up doing was we ended up moving more toward a community-based and blog-based awareness. And so we felt like if you look at the stats, you know, we still have great websites and, you know, our stuff on there, and that's all important. But if you look at the stats, if people are going to move to Scottsdale, Arizona, they're going to put rentals in Scottsdale, Arizona. So as long as you come up,
right,
you're going to be fine.
You're going to be on that list.
And you don't have to do it by paying an apartment magazine. So we started blogging, and then our traffic went up on our whole portfolio by almost 300%. And when I talk about advertising, you know, our advertising numbers were well into the $2 million a year range. So we were spending over $200,000 a month on advertising for all of our properties collectively.
Right.
And then we've now gone, we took it another step, is we ended up bringing on a call center. We have two call centers. We have one in San Antonio, one in Tucson, and they're staffed with three people each. So we moved away from fully paid advertising to six more staff. But now what they're doing is all that traffic is going through those call centers. And then we're actually making appointments at our own properties. So before, those ads would make the apartment office ring, the office telephone ring, and then the leasing agent would set up an appointment if they weren't showing.
Right.
So, but now it's all automated. So now we actually make the appointment online. They actually, you know, so the apartment managers, all they have to do is see who's coming in next. And then from there, we went with what this thing called, it's called a Go Solo, and we branded that. And that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because now people can show up. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I walk into like a Best Buy, I just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't know what I want. Right.
And
I, yeah, I need some help. So we've just adopted that philosophy. We think that same with a car, you know, when you go see a car, you know, they hover over you and they, you know, and they basically don't even let you think. Right. So we went with a different philosophy. Say we're going to have these people in our office that are capable and can be there for any questions that they need. But we're also going to allow whoever wants to go solo to the model, they can on their own. So essentially the models are open and people come in through the office and then they go on their own. And guess what they do? They always stop in and they have two or three questions. And then the leasing agent now is not away from the office, because that's a biggie, because a lot of apartment communities might only have two people. And if both are showing, that means the office phones go into voicemail.
The door's locked.
That means that if somebody comes in and has a maintenance issue, that you know, that's not being dealt with.
Yep.
So there's a lot of reasons, you know, that we wanted people in the office. We also wanted the freedom for the people that are coming to look at apartments to be able to have the option. And we would love to take you, but if for some reason you don't want us to be there, we won't. And very rarely do people just walk right out, you know? They always have a question. They want a brochure. They want whatever. So we're always engaging them, but we're engaging them after they've been able to do it on their own.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's talk just for a minute about the people getting involved in real estate now. A lot of people listening to our show have just really found out real estate, and they think, is it time to get in? Is it too late? You've been in this game a long time through ups and downs and different cycles and so forth. Any advice for someone who's just finding real estate and thinking this might be a way for me to, you know, secure income for my family and those kinds of things?
Well, you guys know how I feel about real estate. I honestly believe in my soul that it's the greatest thing. once you can get that passive cash flow going and you have that financial freedom, there really is nothing better than having that kind of freedom. As you know, I take my entire summer off, 2 months to spend with my family. You know, I just got back from Hawaii last week, and that money's still roaring in, right? And then I literally haven't been in the office. I came in the office today, but haven't been in the office for a couple weeks. And it's just nice when you finally get to that point, you know, still things to do, but I don't actually have to be here. But also the tax advantages behind it. Yeah. You know, I was talking to somebody about that the other day. A friend of mine actually sold his company at a big, actually of all things, he had a big pension 401k company that he sold to a big group. Yeah. and retired. I saw him at the gym, and, you know, I was saying to him, I haven't paid a lot of tax in the last 10 years because of all my depreciation. And he's like, yeah, I know. He goes, I don't think people understand the power of that. And so there's so many benefits, I think, obviously reoccurring cash flow and depreciation that you have if you're not a flipper, right? If you flip, you're definitely going to have tax. So I just think it's the greatest. I think you got to start just like I started, which was just buying a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo, understanding it. Making lots and lots of mistakes, you know, on everybody, you know, the property manager, the lender, the loan, the tenants, you know, all that stuff. And you just, it's something you can't necessarily read, although you need to read about it. And you just have to start. And, you know, I'm living proof that 15 years later, you can build a whole company. You know, we have 350 employees now. We're a builder. You know, we have lots of investors that are investing with us. Never in my life would I have dreamed that we could have gotten it to that big from literally just a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo that I paid 116 grand for, you know, and used 20,000 of my own own money. But once you become educated on it, so regardless of where you are in the cycle, I don't think that it matters. I think that what's attractive for other people and why people invest in us is for what we know and who we are and what we stand for. And so you have to earn that by doing it. And so even if the market's incredibly hot right now, you got to jump in. And timing is important, but every market, that's why I love real estate, because truly, if I was starting out right now, I would be buying in Canada because, you know, the dollar is off, right? Right. And so things are on sale up there just because our US dollar is so strong. And I did the exact opposite thing, as you know, when the Canadian dollar was really strong and the US dollar was weak, that's when I went to Canada and raised all that money.
Get investors. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just knowledge. And so I think, you know, there are definitely markets, even in the US, that are still progressive. And you just, unless you're in the game, you just won't know. And so you can never time it. You can never time the top. You can never time the bottom. You just got to jump in and learn as much as you can.
Awesome stuff. Well, Kenny, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for sharing your big brain with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
This is Ken McElroy. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend 4 fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top 7 tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, I'm Aaron Catusa, the chairman of Catusa Research. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Be sure and tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. Oh my goodness, always great to reconnect with Kenny McElroy.
He's such a great guy. I mean, you know, we just cruise by, hey, Kenny, we want to stop by and get caught up with you because we've got this on our mind and we need a big brain. And we learned a lot from Ken when we were first going through the recession. You know, we were first really getting to know him. We'd been following him, but really getting to know him. And as we got a chance to spend time with him and see the things that he was doing and what he was thinking about and how he picked markets, why he picked markets, he was really the guy that helped us begin to think about strategic market selection. He was the guy that kind of got us turned on to this idea of Texas and Oklahoma and being near resource-based, energy-based job creation. And so it was like, wow, there's a strategy to this. This isn't just dumb luck. He's just not buying in Phoenix, Arizona, because that's where he happens to be based, but he's branching out looking for other markets that make good sense. And so now to see him looking at geographies that way, and now he's looking at market cycles the same way. And to hear him say, okay, well, I'm really not a buyer right now.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. And, you know, if something comes along that looks good, that's great. But the second big thing was, A, not being a buyer, but it's not because he doesn't have the money.
Oh, this is huge. And if you don't get any other lesson from Kenny than this, and listen to the interview again, because it's easy, because of his easygoing style, to just let greatness go on by. But there are nuggets in there. And so as a real estate investor, one of the most disciplined things you have to learn is how to say no when you should and not get all caught up in it. I remember we went to a land auction and we had a couple of parcels we were interested in and we had set a maximum price, my partner and I, and we got in there in the heat of battle and he went above our price. And I'm elbowing him going, we agreed, right? No. And he just got caught up in the moment. You heard from Ken that he's not caught up in the moment. Ken has no lack of capital. Their typical deal gets funded in less than a day. And because of that, they have an unlimited checkbook to go buy apartment buildings, except they don't compromise what they need to be able to get out of a project. And so even though he could be buying, he's not buying. That's a huge clue and a huge lesson for all investors.
It really is. And the temptations that you face are, you know, many. You have people in your organization, on your team, that make money based on activity. And when you're saying, we're not going to do that activity, those people's opportunity goes away. Sometimes you lose those people, and that's a price you pay. You've got investors. You've got investors who've heard about you based on your great track record, and they're throwing money at you, and you don't have anything for them. Then you've got your faithful investors that helped you get there, and they've got money, and they want to put their money to work. And you have to tell them, no, I'm sorry, you know, we really aren't going to do very many deals this year because it doesn't make sense. And so there's pressure to perform for your investors. There's the thrill of the deal. I mean, there's just the activity. It's like, hey, I'm looking for a challenge. I'm looking for something to do. And what I really appreciate is in listening to Kenny is that he found a way to channel that desire for a challenge into something else. Instead of into acquisitions, instead of buying the junky property and fixing it up, he's literally looking at his own portfolio and going, how do I fix this up?
Right.
How do I make it work better? How do I leverage new ideas, new technologies? How do I put in better practices? How can, you know, we reinforce what we're doing? He remodeled his entire office. You think, well, gosh, what does that have to do with anything? Has a lot to do. You know, you and I were talking about this the other day because I just moved recently and I've got a nice home. And you know, we were there and you said, you know, there's something about having a nice home. Well, especially when you work out of your home because you're there every day. And if you get up every day and everything's a mess and it's dumpy and you feel like a loser, then it kind of reflects in your optimism for how you're doing life. But if you've got a nice car and you've got a nice home and nice things and you're like, you know, you feel pretty good about yourself, you see life a little bit better. Well, think about that with your team. If they're working in a nice office and Kenny's got a nice office, not fancy, but just nice, fun. It really reflects his personality.
Well, it does. It's collaborative space. He's turned their eating area into a 50s diner. They just won an award in Arizona for one of the top 20 places to work. In addition to the award for being great at property management that they've won, they won a local award and being a great place to go to work for. And you walk in and it's fun.
And I think those two things are connected. And that's my point. So he's making investments in his team. He's making investments in technologies, looking for new ways to market and push more money to the bottom line to get more profit to his investors through operations, not just through acquisitions and forcing equity. In other words, it's easy to go buy a junky property where what you need to do is obvious. This thing is mismanaged. The parking lot's terrible. Customer service is horrible. I'm going to fix all this up and I'm going to create a lot of value. But when you've already done all those things and now you're like, okay, I've got to figure out how to take it to the next level. And to watch him do that and to hear him describe in a fair amount of detail the things he's doing, that gives you an idea what a savvy investor does in managing at the peak. It's like, okay, I'm going to get better at what I've already got and really fine tune. It's pruning, if you will.
Yeah. You know, after we got done with the interview, we continued our discussion, and as we often do. And a big thing he's looking at now is the costs of his utilities. When you have 10,000 units, think about what 1 cent per kilowatt hour does, right? And so he's found some pretty amazing ways to bring quality up and cost down because he's got the latitude and the time to focus on it. It's not just Ken. It's got a big organization. It's got a lot of great people, and they do various things. But to be able to step back and instead of getting all excited about the market because you want to manufacture deals, to go, you know, it's not the time to buy. It's the time instead to make sure, you know, as John F. Kennedy said, the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining.
Right, right. So it's you know, you can think about if I can put in a washer or dryer or something and get an extra $25 a month, the impact it has on a multi-unit building in terms of cash flow and then the multiplier into equity, right? We've talked about that in the past. Well, the same is true if you can cut expenses, because it's about NOI. It's about net operating income. It's about gross income, which is raising the rents or managing occupancy. And then the bottom line, managing expenses, you know, net operating income, top line minus expenses equals your NOI. And if he can improve that NOI, then that makes his properties more valuable. Well, this goes back to this notion of real estate being a simple business and yet impacted by technology. How many smart appliances are there? Smart meters, technologies that can manage lights and water flows and all kinds of things that can be done. And you have to make that decision. It's like, hey, I've got some cash. I can make a capital investment. I can increase my infrastructure, improve my infrastructure, become more efficient in this area, and then improve my bottom line. And then the great thing about it is no matter what's going on in the cycle, you're prepared. If the market pulled way back, you're still the beneficiary of all that extra cash flow. So it just makes a ton of sense. And that's the thing about Kenny. It's like when you're sitting with him, he just says stuff. Yeah, this is what I'm working on. It's what I'm doing. And this is what we found. And oh, by the way, it's like we're immensely successful.
Well, and I think the part about, you know, where we are in the cycle, he recognizes that. Now, we're not saying that that's the same cycle for you or the same cycle for your market or your product type or any of that. You've got to figure that part out. But I guess the point we learned from Ken is that there's always something you can do to increase your portfolio, your holdings, your success rate. And he couldn't be more bullish on real estate today than he's ever been. I mean, you heard his passion for real estate, and it's just the very best investment there is. And it's not just because we're the real estate guys. I mean, we look at the big picture, as does Ken. Ken is a student of lots of markets. I promise you, Kenny understands a lot about oil and gas and gold and bonds and the stock market. He studies that stuff like we study that stuff. But at his core, he's a real estate guy, and he's an amazing one.
Well, there's no perfect investment, but I think it can be safely argued that real estate is the most perfect of an imperfect portfolio or selection of investments. One other big takeaway I wanted to bring up in just thinking about what Kenny had to share is his focus on the customer, his focus on the tenant, trying to really understand what does my tenant want? How can we do it? The thing about the pets,
right?
Thought that was great. The idea that, hey, let's go after the older folks. That's a demographic that behaves in a certain way that would be a great tenant, less turnover, better care, low maintenance. If they want to have a pet for a companionship, which is common with older folks, let them do it because they're responsible people. It's really, really interesting to see him with that focus because so many times we think it's about managing the property, just like we think a business is about managing the numbers. And a lot of companies and countries and governments and all kinds of people blow it when they take the human factor out. You know, we've been talking about that recently, and it's just something that it's really refreshing. You can see why Kenny is successful. He understands, hey, I'm going to create a great environment for my people to work in, so they will take great care of my customers. I'm going to spend time getting to know my customers, and I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to maybe try some things, take a little risk. I'm going to take the time to go back and look at my portfolio and go, you know what, of all the pets we've ever had, we've never had an issue. So what the heck are we afraid of? Let's just go ahead and open that up. Again, common sense. It's almost so common. You're like, why didn't I think of that? I don't know. Kenny sits around and he thinks of those things. And then more than think about them, he actually does them.
They changed the name of their company to reflect the tenant. I mean, it's exactly at the core of who he is. He's about providing safe, clean, affordable housing for thousands and thousands of people. I remember when we had Robert Kiyosaki on our first investor summit at CNN in 2012, and he talked about a person that owns one house and lives in it is selfish. A person that owns 100 units and other people get to live in it, that's a generous person. And look how generous Ken and Ross are, right? And of course, Robert's a big part of that as well. So you have to think differently as a investor first and as a real estate investor second. And if you feel that we're at the peak in your market, then there are some things you can do. It's not just about selling everything and converting to cash or gold. There are things you can do proactively to make your portfolio better, no matter what the market's doing.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly manage the cash flow, the debt, the equity. You can look to arrange things in such a way to lower your interest expense or your tax costs or your insurance costs. I mean, here's the other thing I want to make sure that people are not missing that's so inspirational is Kenny started this entire journey with a duplex.
Right.
He founded MC Companies 15 years ago, and today 10,000 plus units, 800 investors, award winning. He's got a lifestyle that allows him to pretty much come and go and do what he wants and think about working on the business and not in the business, as Michael Gerber would say. So wherever you are in your cycle as an investor, whether you're just starting out, whether you've got, you know, maybe a few properties in your portfolio and you're dreaming of more, whether you maybe get your first one or two or three investors and you're dreaming of having 100 or 200. The reality is it's all very doable, and people who have gone before you have figured it out. And the reason we do these shows is to expose you to these ideas, these perspectives, these personalities, to inspire you that you can do it too. And you should do it, because the world needs more Kenny McElroys. He's doing a great thing for the communities that he's involved in. He's doing a he's creating jobs. I mean, he's exactly the kind of people that we need more of. So if you're out there and you're listening and you want to be one of those guys, go for it. We really encourage you to do it.
Last year on our investor summit, Ken McElroy and his partner, Ross McAllister, the two MCs of MC Life, what was MC Companies, shared the most amazing hour of not real estate and not markets, but of how you sustain a great partnership. And it was inspiring. Kenny's been on the investor summit 7 years in a row, and it was Ross's first year. And Ken's situation was, because of where his kids were, he wasn't able to spend the whole week with us. So he came to the land portion, and then Ross took the baton and spent the week with us. And that was fabulous to meet the other side of that partnership. And these guys are doing it right. That's for sure. Hey, there's still room for you to join us on this year's Investor Summit at Sea. It's our 15th annual and will be the absolute best lineup of faculty we've ever had. You can get all the details and reserve your cabin if you go to the Real Estate Guys website at realestateguysradio.com and click Summit at Sea. Next week on The Real Estate Guys, we're going to talk about how you can manage your psychology when things don't go so well, and how out of the ashes you can create fabulous wealth. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and I'm very excited that I'll be joining The Real Estate Guys for their Investor Real Estate Summit at Sea. Join me, join my friends, join The Real Estate Guys Investor Summit at Sea, and I'll see you out there. Thank you very much.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.